Chapter 1. Tommy. In December 1912, Woodrow Wilson's name, picture, and story were all over the newspapers and magazines. Everybody, it seemed, wanted to meet the man who had been elected President of the United States the month before. Office seekers and advice givers figuratively, sometimes literally, banged on his door. Each mail delivery brought invitations to attend ceremonies in his honor around the country. The president-elect evaded the callers for a while by sailing away with his family for an island vacation. He declined invitations to events, except one. He could not resist making a sentimental journey to Stanton, Virginia, the town of his birth, for a celebration of his 56th birthday. The trip lived up to all expectations for warmth and festivity. The whole town turned out for a parade, and the guest of honor spoke at two events. For him, the highlight of the occasion came when he spent the night of his birthday sleeping in the same bed, in the same room, in the same house where he had been born. Also during the visit, he went to see the only member of his family who still lived in the town, an elderly aunt on his mother's side of the family, who was slightly deaf. She remembered him from his childhood, but she had not followed his life and career since then, and she did not even call him by the name he had been using since his early 20s. "Well, Tommy, what are you doing now?" she asked. "I've been elected president, Aunt Janie," he shouted into her ear trumpet. "Well, well," she answered. "President of what?" When Thomas Woodrow Wilson was born, on December 28, 1856, in Stanton, his birth was big news in this town of just under 4,000 people. He was the third child and first son of the Reverend Joseph Ruggles Wilson, minister of Stanton's leading church, the First Presbyterian Church. He was born in the house that the church provided for the minister, which Presbyterians call a manse, and this manse stood among the newest and finest houses in the town. Stanton is in the Shenandoah Valley, then a diversified agricultural area, with a focus on wheat growing and comparatively few plantations and slaves. It drew its population largely from the Scotch-Irish who had migrated southward from Pennsylvania and Maryland. They had made the valley strongly Presbyterian. The boy's father, 34-year-old Joseph Wilson, was himself the son of Scotch-Irish immigrants, and he had been born and raised in Ohio. In his youth, he had worked as a printer on the newspaper edited by his father, who had also served as a representative in the Ohio legislature and as a state judge. He had sent Joseph, his youngest son, to Jefferson, now Washington and Jefferson College, in Pennsylvania, where he graduated as valedictorian of his class in 1844. Joseph Wilson had taught school for a year before going to seminary, first in Ohio and then in New Jersey at Princeton. He had taken his first pulpit in Pennsylvania while teaching rhetoric part-time at Jefferson College. Teaching had drawn him to Virginia in 1851, when he became professor of chemistry and natural sciences at Hampton Sidney College. Preaching, however, was his heart's desire, and he served as a temporary or supply minister while at Hampton Sidney. In December 1854, 2 years before his son's birth, Joseph Wilson had received the call to Stanton, and the following June he had moved there with his family to fill the pulpit of its large, prosperous Presbyterian church. The new minister did not fit the prevalent stereotype of the stern pastor. He was outgoing and witty, much given to puns. He smoked cigars and a pipe heavily, played billiards incessantly, dressed well, and took an occasional drink of Scotch whiskey. He was tall and handsome, with warm brown eyes, and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?